It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
81, ball knocked away from Hill. Squirts right to Kuminga, back nice. Cut, Waters down the lane. They hammered it down with a right hand. Nasty dunk by Waters, who's having an unbelievable night. 19 points for Lindy Waters.
Tim Royal to call right here on 95.7 The Game alongside Tom Tolbert. And oh baby, it looked awful in the first quarter when the Warriors shot 5 of 23 from the field and 2 of 13 from the three-point line, scored 14 points. They were struggling. 4 turnovers. They couldn't find any rhythm. And next thing you know, they're down 34 to 14. But then what had happened was they outscored the Pelicans 73 to 48 in the second and third quarter to flip this basketball game. And obviously, Lindy Waters, the third, is the talk of the town. He goes 8 of 13 off the bench, scores 21 points. And for all the plus minus geeks, he was a plus 26 on the floor, grabbing a career high, 8 rebounds. He dropped 4 dimes. Buddy Hield, how about him in the fourth quarter? 19 of his 28 in the fourth quarter alone. He got crazy hot. And the Warriors are 3-1 to start the season and get their first home win of the year. Man, we're going to talk about it here on the Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. 888-957-9570. Shasky in the building. We got Spinonia Lubman in the building. Lubman enjoyed the game. He had primetime seats watching the Pelicans get rolled last night in that second half. And the Warriors, shorthanded or not, they dropped 34 assists. Points off turnovers, flip 34-5 in their advantage. Fast break points, they were out and running, 22-6, Warriors advantage. Kuminga comes off the bench, but it doesn't matter because he plays a season high in minutes. And overall, we're all feeling good. Let's see if they can get a sweep today against the Pelly Pels.
Yeah, that would be that'd be really cool for them to get the sweep without Wiggs, without... I mean, I'm assuming Wiggs is out again today?
I'm going to assume. He was on the bench, though. It was a good sign. Whenever I hear back injuries, you usually don't see guys sitting on the bench.
Good point.
But not that Wiggins. Wiggins and Melton. Wiggins and Melton were sitting on the bench there, so it was a good sign, I think.
Yeah, and so, like, to get that win... shocking, quite frankly, to be down what they were down and then to win going away the way that they did. It was like a 35-40 point swing within that one game. And so, yeah, that's really surprising. And also, like, looking at the Pels, I mean, they're obviously missing guys, but their two big dudes did play well in terms of points.
Yeah.
It just felt like they weren't playing as a connective unit. And I contrast that with the Warriors and... Boy, they really feel connected right now. I know there are some lineups that are going to be clunkier offensively, but it does feel like they're all pulling the rope in the same direction.
No, they are. They are right now. Everybody's bought in. It felt like they were bought in last year when they started 5-1.
You're right.
And then, you know, I don't know. But no, this feels different. I'm not even trying to compare it to last year. This does feel different. Some new faces, some fresh faces. And they look a little more athletic. They look scrappy. Guys understand their roles. And again, that unnamed player, Toby Abonte, we're winning 50. I'm starting to buy it.
Well,
I'm
win games like it. This with Curry out,
I'm starting to buy it.
I will get on that train.
I'm starting to buy it. Let's go to...
Curry looks happy.
Let's go to Mike at Fremont. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's up?
It was awesome to see the comeback last night. And just to touch on the caller before who was like, we got to scale this down to an 8 or 9 person rotation. Why? Well, the biggest problem we had all year last year was depth, and because we had to run Steph out there for 35, 40 minutes every single night just to stay in a game. Now he's out for a long period of time. Didn't seem like we missed him. I mean, I'm obviously we miss him, but when he comes back, even he's going to have to be limited a little bit, make sure the ankle's good. You can sit Wiggs and you can still come back from that deficit. So play a 12, 13-man rotation as long as you can. You save legs. You save time. You save people, you know, all that energy and endurance that they have to go through. And then they'll be there at the end of the season when they have to be.
Who's the guy that you've been most impressed with?
I mean, all of them. Like, I would say Moody because of just what he brings. But then also, I would say probably, like, Draymond's even, like, calmed down. They were talking about how he was, like, a peacekeeper almost last night. It was a little weird.
Did you see?
Know?
There was a point where
But it feels like everybody, like you said, everybody's pulling in the same direction. And once everybody was on the same page, and I'll give Steve Kerr his flowers, but honestly, to bring in all that depth, give a little bit to Mike Dunleavy for bringing in all of those people that because they didn't have this last year.
Draymond and the referee were at one point, he was getting a little animated, but then he smiled at the ref, and I was like, wow, like, are we seeing him turn a new leaf? I mean, you know, I'm tongue-in-cheek with that, but he smiled at the ref, and I believe, I don't know if he dapped the ref up or...
He patted him on the shoulder. It was like, you're right.
And I was like, dude, if you just did that a little more often, you could still be animated, and you're going to have moments where you're going to... But if you just mix that in a little more, that is the maturity and the growth we've all been just begging for.
Well, I'm, I am looking forward to my House of Prime Rib dinner that you're going to owe me when you play 65 games this year. Looking forward to that one.
You think he's going to play? I mean, we're four games in.
He's playing 65.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely incredible.
I just want to remind you about the bet. It's out there.
Injuries and suspensions.
No, we had caveats. Oh, if God. He gets injured.
What were the caveats?
The caveat if he gets injured.
I don't remember that. I remember specifically we marked the tape.
It was a DraftKings rules where there was injuries.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to be suspended for 20 games.
No, it's like a Bovada. Yeah. Suspensions were in play. That's in play.
And so were injuries.
No. We said caveat injuries. No, we can't do nothing about that. Yeah, we did. Yeah, it was.
You're making up the stuff.
No, I'm not making up. It's on the tape. It's on the tape.
I love how he's pointing at Spadoni like Spadoni's got it.
I don't know where it is.
Spadoni remembers it. Lubman remembers it. The Roasters will remember. Trust me. But you know
Ernie
what?
Chavez, then, get on it.
Then again, the Roasters be hating on me and they be trying to go against me. So, you know what?
Well, which is it?
He's going to play 65. Let's go to Jimmy in Bayview. What's up, Jimmy?
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Another beautiful day in the city. On Steve Kerr, I think he's due for a good year. You know, he's had two tough years. He's had a lot of locker room issues. And I'm excited to see a team that punches above its weight, that doesn't play as they should or is a disappointment. I think he's due for a team that really punches above its weight. And, you know, it's early, and he's incorporated four new guys. People seem happy to be here. And, I mean, we'll really see once they start playing the better teams. But, yeah, I'm excited, and I think Steve Kerr's due. Thanks, guys.
It's interesting. So, like, not that he was terrible last year, but he just was, you know, maybe there wasn't a cohesion between his feel for the game and the roster that he was given and all that. Like, all those things have to come together. It does feel – I mean, it's early, but it does feel like he genuinely has pieces that he likes that I think fit each other a little bit better, and they all feel very hungry and ready to like earn their keep. Now, again, it's early. Well, everybody's on their best behavior in the first week or two.
He also didn't have a contract going into the season.
I didn't even think of that.
He didn't get the contract till late in the year, right? Because we had the Warriors summit, San Leandro, and he didn't have a contract. So there was that kind of, you know, he was coaching, and usually in the NBA, you don't have a contract. A lot of coaches don't go through that lame duck season. So I think that was huge for Steve Kerr, as well as trying to win and keep guys in the lineup. There was a lot going on. There was a lot going on last year. You know, Chris Paul's role, Clay's role, Draymond missed a ton of games. Andrew Wiggins missed a ton of games. There's the Kuminga. He wants to play more. Moses Moody getting DMPs. And then he didn't have a contract extension, so he didn't sign a contract extension until February of 2024. Or this year, I should say. Two-year, $35 million contract extension. So he didn't have that contract extension in February, so maybe that had something to do with it. But Steve is coaching his ass off right now, man. He's coaching his ass off, and the heat that he gets on a daily basis, it's very... Which, when you think about it, Shanahan gets heat, not getting people say, well, he hasn't won the big one, Bonte. Well, Steve Kerr has helped the Warriors with a big one. He's helped them do it four times. And they've made subtle adjustments throughout each of those series. And yet, Steve Kerr doesn't get his flowers. Gets laughed at. Yeah, I wouldn't take Steve Kerr. He doesn't know anything. Steve Kerr, how many years have we spent with Steve Kerr? Boy, out of timeouts, man. The play designs he has is next level. Next level. But I was talking to somebody about this the other day, where it used to be about the players. And somewhere it's flipped with sports fans to where we just blame the coach. It's like, well, players have to execute. Players have to make plays. Coach can only put it into play. Players got to be able to run it. So I get holding coaches accountable, but it's flipped on its head, a full 180.
Well, I think the players get a lot of grief individually on their social media accounts. I do believe on the talking shows like this one, you know, there's some player stuff, but you also don't want to harp too hard on some of the players because then they, you know, they hear it and then there's feedback. I feel like the coach is an easy culprit for a lot of shows. I do believe that, and also. In the NBA in particular, it does feel like we just throw coaches away left and right.
Throw them under the bus.
No, but like the players do too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not just saying like the fans. Like, no, it's doubt. Both. Like the players feel like they, like, great example, like the Darvin Ham thing. I mean, Laker fan, I'm not saying that they're not wrong. I'm just saying, you ask a Laker fan what was wrong the last year, like, Darvin Ham. Like, they just, every night it was Darvin Ham's fault.
Especially because it was a year after they advanced to the Western Conference Finals. But Darvin Ham, you know, obviously it's tough coaching the LeBron James-led team.
No doubt.
And Anthony Davis. So the honeymoon phase right now for J.J. Redick's going very, very well. We'll see how that plays out. I do think the Lakers, you know what they're doing that nobody's talking about really is the way they're using Rui Hachimura. I think he's a very underrated player. And they're finally putting him in a position to succeed. For the first games, I've watched a lot of. I've been all over the league pass, man. I love the NBA. I think it's off to a rollicking start. Guys are into it.
Rollicking.
Yeah, you like that word?
I mean, it's wow.
You see the latest rumors with the Lakers.
And are they rollicking?
Who they
rumors?
May be pursuing potentially, depending on how this team goes, and we all expect this team not to be very good. Keep an eye on Jordan Poole. I'll just say that.
What?
Keep an eye on him.
Wow. Wow.
They are not happy with D'Angelo Russell.
Well, I mean, he's, you know, looks like he's an extra in Game of Thrones.
Well, it's just not only that. It's just D'Angelo. It's a D'Angelo Russell experience.
He looks skinnier. Am I the only one that sees that? He looks thinner.
Yeah.
The hair is slimming.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Damn, if they... Wow.
Was that what would you make of a Jordan Poole to the Lakers?
That would be a good move for the Lakers.
What about for your Warriors?
Well, my Warriors, look, we go against Jordan Poole. It's all good. I'm just saying, that's a good move for the Lakers. I'm not afraid of him, but Jordan Poole so far this season, he's off to a nice start. He has playoff experience. You know, he doesn't get credit. Jordan Poole, that's another thing. Jordan Poole's his first ever postseason, average 17 a game, had some monster games. Monster games. Now, he had some turbulence along the ride, but he had some monster games. And I won't forget him. People do, but I won't. 61% from the three-point line. It's very early.
Whoa.
So far, he's off to a great start. 61% from the three-point line. 22 points, 5 assists, and he looks engaged. Hit the game winner against the Atlanta Hawks the other day. Grant Lifman's Atlanta Hawks. Jordan Poole looks good, man. That would be a sneaky little move. He played well off of LeBron, because one thing Jordan Poole could do is get to the lane. Dribble drive penetration. Damn, Spadoni.
Ever so briefly, your point about like just criticism in general from fans, media, everyone on players and coaches. I saw this play out in real time with Marquise Goodwin a couple of years ago when he scored a touchdown, and it was like, I think it was like a blowout game, and he pointed to the skies, and everybody online lost their minds about why he would celebrate like that. And then afterwards, we found out that he was suffering through a tragedy, mm-hmm. right? And Charvarius Ward had a tragedy happen, you know, with his family, with his daughter dying. And it stopped me in my tracks because his daughter's like the same age as my little guy. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I couldn't even imagine what he's going through. And then in my own mind, I'm thinking, like, man, how many times have I, like, critiqued this play lately? And I know play is different from, like, critiquing the individual and all that stuff. But it's like, you just never know what people are going through in life, man. And then I read an article that came out in February, which I feel ashamed having not known that his daughter was born with certain heart complications and had open heart surgery. And I went through that with my father, who was in his 60s. I couldn't even begin to fathom going through that with a baby. And it's just, you just never know what people are going through. And so there are times where we all, like, criticize someone and then come to find out, like, wow, they're actually going through something very, very, very serious. But my heart just goes out to Jarvarius Ward and his family. And I mean, words aren't going to help him with what he's going through. It's just what a horrible, horrible tragedy that him and his wife have been going through. It's just, no one should ever have to go through that. It just sucks.
Jarvarius and Monique Ward, and he's been dealing with injuries this year, and he doesn't know if he's going to be here long term because he's a free agent. And obviously, that money's probably going to go to D'Amelio Lenore, the younger player, a little more dynamic at the quarterback spot. But, you know, Jarvarius and Monique, our thoughts and prayers are to you, because I have a baby girl. And, you know, Jarvarius Ward, you know, Jim Lee Chan had a great article. Matt Barrows, of course, had an article with The Athletic. And, you know, that was his best friend. And I think about Chesna, that's my best friend. That's my baby girl. You know, she's watching the Warriors game with her feet laid up on me, cuddling or whatnot. That's my guy. That's my dog. You know, I talked to me and her, spent a lot of time together. So having a kid, you get that perspective. And they're so innocent. And the world is ahead. It's just, I don't know, man. I just, that one hit me in a cardiac, man. That was, I feel for Jarvarius, man, what he's going through and whatnot. So, yeah. You know, and I try to tell people all the time, like, these athletes go, they're like us. They want to be normal like us. And that's why I've watched kind of what I've said over the years on the radio or whatnot, and trying to, as I've moved up the ranks here and learning and being around these players. Like, I think the best experience I've had was being around City College of San Francisco and knowing what these junior college players go through, trying to get a Division I scholarship. Now, you think about the pros and what they go through, and you know, I always make the analogy that they can't walk into a Starbucks like you and I can, without being mobbed and wanting to get selfies or whatnot. And then the minute they don't take a selfie with somebody, somebody's quick to go online saying, this guy's a jerk, he wouldn't sign my baseball or whatnot. This guy signed millions of baseballs a year. They take millions of pictures a year. They're traveling all year long. And so, damn, yeah, that would, you know, these athletes, they're people too, just like us. They're humans just like us. And they go through issues just like us. And they probably go through a lot more issues because they've got all this money in the world, and certain people think that, oh, they make all this money, they should take care of this, they should take care of that. Oh, where's my tickets for this? Where's my jersey for that? You know, I've heard of, you know, players here in the Bay Area where they started to play their best when the family just, hey, man, why don't you just stay in the hometown? I got this here. I don't need you hanging around the team. I don't need you hanging around the game, the facilities. I got this. And so, you know, here's an incident, a jerk right here from the 530. Comcast Business Tech Line. They could buy five houses when most fans can't buy one. Cry as a river. You idiot. Well, listen to what the hell we're saying. This is the problem.
Money.
It's a jerk like the 530.
Having money, I've said this forever, whether you're Pablo Sandoval or Robert Downey Jr. or whoever it is in whatever walk of life, just because you have money, it doesn't insulate you from being depressed or not feeling professionally fulfilled, or even all the money in the world can't help you with certain health issues. You know, we threw a lot of money in the world at various things for different family members, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything. You can have the best health coverage in the world, and things just happen. And so, just because you're rich, it doesn't insulate you from normal everyday issues. You know,
no doubt.
Divorces. Yeah. I mean, Tom Brady's got everything. Yeah. Him and his wife just went through a wild divorce, and I don't think Tom was happy throughout that period. You know,
I'm a little sad now because I think she's pregnant with the jiu-jitsu fighter, and Tom had a very cryptic message on his Instagram. So obviously he's feeling some type of way.
I know I'd get hurt. I would feel that. And so I just think that we do this thing where, like, money, I'll be happy. And then, yes, to a degree, it helps a lot of things, but it can't sometimes always solve all your issues.
Anthony Slater, 830. Anthony Slater, 830. Let's go to Nick in Berkeley. Nick, what's happening?
Man, it's like, I don't know how people don't separate the life from the sport. You know what I'm saying? And it's a warrant that somebody would come and say something ridiculous like that, man. Like, seriously, grow up, bro. And, like, you know, it should have came from the top. Like, hey, man, take as much time as you need, bro. We're here for you, whatever support we can give to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, grief counselors, all that, man. I've had friends that have lost kids, man. It's the most brutal thing to witness, man. And, with, you know, my daughter's 25 now, man. So you two, you guys, man, you spend every moment with your kids as you can, man, because time goes by so fast, bro. And you look up and, like, man, you'll be 80, your daughter will be like 50. It's crazy, man. It's like, I spend, me and my daughter, we watch every 49er game together. You know what I'm saying? For the last, you know, since she was 8 years old, she would fall asleep at Candlestick at halftime. I had to carry her out of there until she finally made it through the fourth quarter, like her second season. And I was like, oh, it's on now. And man, we've had so many magic moments, man. I'm just saying, like, you know, thoughts and prayers to his family, man. That's all I can say, man.
I totally agree with you. Nick well said. And my brother said it to me. My brother's got 3 under 4. And he said to me, you know, like the first week, he was like, hey, man, he's like, the days are really long, but the weeks go by very quickly. Yeah. And I thought I knew what he was talking about. And yesterday, my little guy, he's pulling himself up. He's climbing on things. He's really starting to like climb like crazy. And I was thinking like, damn, he was so right. I mean, he is so right. And I know we think like, because the days are long when you're raising kids. I don't care. Yeah. Man, woman, doesn't matter. Like, whatever. Like, it's tough. It's freaking hard. And they go by super quick. And you do have to embrace those moments. And for the Ward family, as I, you know, go back... Yeah. How do you fill that void?
No, you don't. You never do.
My heart goes out to them, man. I'm getting emotional.
You're going to think about it all the time. That's why, and it gets mad at me, but when baby Chaz climbs into bed in the middle of that, I'm like, I'm good with it. I want my daughter to be. I want my daughter here. Hey, come on into bed. Come on, let's go. You know, let's go. When I pick her up from school, she's waving and smiling. This papa rolled out the window so I can say bye to everybody. You see her growing and her conversing and asking questions. It's a beautiful thing, man. So, you know, hopefully the Wards will. It's going to be tough to get through this, but they got our love and support. No doubt about that. All right, before we get to Slater, we got the bets out. So I bet that Draymond Green will play 65 games. Sasky said, no, he's not. I'll bet you that.
Incredible.
And the bet is, if he plays 65 games, Shasky's taking me to the House of Prime Rib. Oh, yeah. So,
we should really make it a show thing. You should take all of us, Joe Shasky, is what you should do.
I mean, oh, no, you guys doubted. You guys should all take me.
Not really made of money.
I don't think you guys, you got 3 houses, or you're working in your third house. You guys... We're like laughing at me about it. So no, you don't get in on this.
When
bet.
Did I laugh?
And well, the parameters,
you believe
injuries
you believe.
Are part of it, right?
You don't believe.
Well, we have the sound if you guys want to play, and you can hear what you guys actually said.
Okay.
Anything could happen.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
Has
anything
it crossed your mind that maybe Draymond, I don't know, gets suspended at least once next year?
No, I think Draymond will be on his best behavior.
I think Draymond's learned his lesson at this point.
I do. I do believe that. Lesson. I do believe that. He may get a couple double texts. He may get some texts. He may get suspended for having 16 texts. But the long suspension, 27 games, he's playing. I will bet you this.
He had multiple suspensions.
He can shave it down to at least 20 games.
I'm willing to make this bet right now.
Make the bet. What's the bet?
Draymond will play at least 65 games in a regular season next year. Next season. He's playing at least 65.
So he'll miss 17.
I just said he'll play at least 65.
Okay, well, you're missing 17.
No, well, I just said he'll play at
least
65.
That's like a fifth of the season.
No, it doesn't mean that he's going to miss 17.
He'll miss at most 17.
I'm not taking that bet.
That's the way to phrase it, Flubbin. He'll play at least 65. You want to make that bet?
I'm not optimistic.
What are we betting?
Whatever you want.
So there's your bet.
But there was more to it, like caveats or whatnot.
Well, yeah, you add some stakes. We can get into that on the other side because we are up against it here. But yeah, you guys did add some stakes and stuff like that. But as far as like
a part of it,
no, you guys left no caveats. It is literally 65 games. That's it.
You know what? I'll roll with it. Fine. I'll roll with it. It's all good. He's playing 65. A lot at stake this season. They want a 7-game series.
You know what? I will take all three of you to House Prime Rib, but you got to split the meal. It's a joke.
I'm not losing this bet.
That's a good little contention.
I feel like this is a lock. Draymond's play is 65. Let's go. Right, see, Shaska's trying to get me. So you're saying he's missing 70? No, I'm saying he's playing at least 65. At least.
Well, there's 82 games, so I just did the math.
Well, he's played at least.
I mean, if he misses 17 games, he played 65 games. So, I mean, it's you guys are kind of both. Either one you want to go with.
No, I'm just saying he's played at least. He could play 70, you know?
Fun game.
Let's go. Let's play tonight, baby. Let's get five in.
I could
five
win Powerball.
In. Let's get five in. No, you can't. That's not happening. Only old people in Florida win that. No, actually, in California, people have been winning. All right. Anthony Slater coming up on the other side. And that'll be brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Slater! To talk about the Doves in this rotation. Lindy Waters the third. The Buddy Hill experiment. It's been going well so far as the Warriors are 3-1. They get their first home win of the season last night. Willard it is, by the way. I know Willard's texted to us. They were out there at Chase Center yesterday. I think they're going to be at the Gay House today. Willard has some primetime tickets, too. How's he getting all these Warrior tickets? Anyway, Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and much, much more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com.
All right, Dub Nation, it's Draymond Green. Tip-off is coming later today with the great Tim Roy. And then tune in to the Morning Roast tomorrow morning for the best Warriors coverage.
I said Draymond's playing at least 65 games, not 55. He's playing at least 65 games this season. And I got the House of Prime Rib on that. I haven't been there in a very long time. Looking forward to that. What do you think he gets to 65? Late February? Early March?
Come on, Pelican!
Knock on wood. Knock on wood. So far,
absolutely
so good.
Incredible.
4-5. Is your chat ever coming back? I don't know. But don't let the people at the other stations lie to you and say that they're for the people. They haven't taken phone calls in 15 years, man. Stop. Stop playing. All right, anyway. I didn't get that out.
Kind of like a mashed potatoes guy.
A little salty. Didn't get the best sleep. Not going to lie. But you get clouds like the 530 texting and sensitive stuff like that. Kind of gets under my skin. All right. Anthony Slater joins us on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Slates, what's going on, man? Good morning.
I'm good. That's always an odd audio drop, that mashed potato thing.
But it is a little, it does get a little odd. I know you're much more than a mashed potatoes guy, right? You like steaks. You like macaroni. What else do you like, Anthony? What is your go-to meal?
I don't know. I like a lot of things in life.
You travel too much, so you can't, like, you know, you probably just go to wherever, right? You're not a fast food guy because you're in great shape.
Yeah, I mean, but if I'm in Philly, I'll have, like, a cheesesteak. If I'm in New Orleans, I'll try to go to, like, you know, a gumbo spot or something. Yeah. I try to go local.
Yeah, there you go. I respect that. So I got to bet with Shasky here. When was the bet made? I don't know when the bet was made, but I basically said Draymond will play at least 65 games this season. And Shasky just scoffed, laughed at me. I believe Draymond's going to play at least 65 games this year, don't you?
I've got a question. Is his skepticism like, oh, he's older in his career, he's going to get some bangs and bruises? Or is it like he thinks they're suspensions?
Yeah.
No, he thinks they're just suspensions.
Well, no. It's, ejections it's a catch-all. And it's called a catch-all, meaning it's both the suspensions and the injuries. I mean, the guy, he's older.
You tell me, Slater. Play this out. You got the sound. Let's play it for Slater. He's a good friend of the program. Play this out for Slates. Anything could happen.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
Has
anything
it crossed is possible your for mind Sacramento. That maybe Draymond, I don't know, gets suspended at least once next year?
No, I think Draymond will be on his best behavior.
I think Draymond's learned his lesson at this point.
I do believe that.
I'm not optimistic.
He may get a couple double texts. He may get some texts. He may get suspended for having 16 texts. But the long suspension, 27 games, he's playing. I will bet you this.
He had multiple suspensions.
He can shave it down to at least 20 games.
I'm willing to make this bet right now.
Make the bet. What's the bet?
Draymond will play at least 65 games in a regular season next year. Next season. He's playing at least 65.
So he'll miss 17.
I just said he'll play at least 65.
Okay, well, you're missing 17.
No, well, I just said he'll play at
least
65.
That's like a fifth of the season.
No, it doesn't mean he's going to miss 17.
He'll miss at most 17.
I'm not taking that.
There you go. That's the way to phrase it, Flubbin. He'll play at least 65. You want to make that bet?
I'm not optimistic.
What are we betting?
Whatever you want. There it is, Slates. There it is.
It's 4 for 4.
4 for 4, baby. We're off to a good start. The Warriors are off to a good start. 3-1. And obviously we'll get to Buddy Hield and we'll get to the depth and everything like that. But Lindy Waters the third? How about him? How about Lindy Waters, Slates?
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. Did you know about him, Darren? Did you know about him in Stillwater?
What about Stillwater? Yeah, I knew about him. I watch Oklahoma State basketball. The thing is, he was like a solid little rotation player for like not a great Oklahoma State team. he was never considered an NBA prospect. Sam Presti found him. And then that's a factory in Oklahoma City, and they developed him. And obviously it's through his hard work. And, you know, I'm around the Thunder some, and I know plenty of people within the Thunder. They love him. They've been saying all summer how much he's going to, like, they've been the ones like, he could help. Get him on the floor. They didn't want to give him up. The problem is they just have so many players / like first round future picks. Like there just wasn't necessarily room for him, which is kind of his issue right now with the Warriors, right? He's a 13th man in a 12 man rotation, but I don't like, should that be the case moving forward? I don't know.
No. Well, I think we're going to find out as time goes on, but I do believe the shooting is sustainable because that's what everyone has basically been talking about. Like, this guy's a great shooter. Now, will he shoot the clip he shot last night? Like, we'll see, right? But I thought that the way that he played with his pants on fire and his hair on fire, where he was dribble drive penetrating, which I didn't think he could put the ball on the floor, active on at least he was trying on defense, it felt like, hustling for loose balls. He went backdoor a couple of times because of the threat of him being able to shoot. I feel like the guy's got an opportunity here, though, doesn't he? Like, at least be in the rotation. I'm not saying he's a starter.
He's a good player. I think he might start tonight. He started the second half last night. Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to because of, you know, the depth that makes it difficult for a lot of guys. You know, Moody, Kuminga, other guys I'm sure we're going to talk about. But Steve Kerr loves him. Steve Kerr had a long conversation with Mark Daigneault this summer, the Thunder coach, and like, you know, Mark Daigneault voiced to him how much he's going to love him. I know Thunder people were saying the entire time they thought he fit the Warriors system, right? I mean, you can already see that, the movement, the cutting, everything that Steve Kerr likes. There was a moment last night he hit a couple threes, and he's kind of, curling around the wing. He got the ball, and like the Pelicans flew out of two guys, and it led to, I believe it was a Moody layup. Mm-hmm. After it got dumped down, and it was like, you know, it's kind of gravity related, to Lindy Waters. I do think he's a volume, like near 40% type 3-point shooter in the league, and he's big. He's taller. He's probably taller than you expected, right? A lot of times these sharpshooters are smaller. Like, no, he's not a huge wing that's going to like physically, you know, be imposing defensively, but he's also not going to just get run over. Mm. And you saw that last night. He's smart. And the other thing is, like, you guys probably saw his personality at the press conference.
Yeah.
But he's like super professional. Again, that's a little bit like this Thunder factory that, you know, he comes from. It's just like all business, kind of no distractions. And I think they found somebody here.
What did he tell you, Slater, last night? I keep that strap on me? Yeah, I keep that strap on me, man. I love that. All right, some personality there. What about Buddy Hield? Buddy Hield's podium games have been pretty good this year, and he's been pretty good on the court in 3-4 games. The outlier being the Portland, the Clippers game on Sunday, where he goes 3-14 and 1-9 from the 3-point line. But boy, that guy heated up yesterday. And the move to the rim, where he's going through the legs and dribbling, driving. I text some guys. I text our boys KC and D'Lo. You know them boys up in ESPN 1320. They said we've never seen that in Sacramento. Buddy's got a little bag on him, Slates.
Yeah, it's funny because like fans are gonna need to like, you know, understand it. It's a little clay-like with the really hot stretches and really cold stretches. Before the second half last night, he was 4 of 22 shooting in the six quarters on the homestand, and then he scores 25 in the second half and hits, you know, 6 of 6 from three. Obviously, he had those first two explosive games, but, you know, he kind of, like, Kerr went to Lindy Waters over him to start the second half because he wasn't good in the first half, and then he's the player of the game in the second half. So it's going to be hit and miss, and I do think with depth, as long as it's accepted by everybody, that's where the benefit is. Like there's going to be Buddy Hield nights and non-Buddy Hield nights, and theoretically, if he's cold, you just go away from him. And if he's hot, he might win you a game. Like in some ways, he didn't necessarily win the game last night, but he put it away. At the number they got him at, how they got him, they just kind of snuck him in their final little, like, you know, 7-8 million, whatever it was, amount of cap space that was left at really at the end of free agency. That turned out to be a creative move and potentially a really big move for a team that needs shooting.
So before the game, Sham Sharania reports, and it was a little misleading based on the graphic, like Jonathan Kuminga, and it says benched in like really large, bold font on the graphic that's associating to the tweet. And I'm like, well, is he going to play? Is he benched forever? Like, well, like benched to me is like you don't play much, you know? Like, he ended up having the most minutes and the most points he's had all year. It was a little, you know, rough early on, but I thought he was excellent in the middle part of the game. And I'm just wondering, will he buy in to the I can come and not be a starter and still get a lot of my minutes and a lot of my production, you know, in various lineups? Is he willing to buy in? Was that the sense you got after the game?
Look, I wrote about it in detail about why these decisions are being made, what is making this like rotational puzzle very tricky. And, you know, I kind of had a back and forth with him in the locker room, maybe four questions long, that, you know, I think makes clear he doesn't necessarily love the situation. But like, as far as buy-in, like, he's going to play when Steve Kerr tells him to play. And last night it was off the bench. And like you said, he played 28 minutes. He played well. He looked motivated. He has to, right? He's playing for a contract. He's playing for his big contract. He can't just like completely pout all year and like have a bad season. Like, he really needs to have a good season for his own individual self, but also for the team. So again, tonight I expect him against the same Pelicans team, you know, probably coming off the bench, but probably playing high minutes. Now, what's tough right now, and what's tough probably for him to take, but it's just like the lineup combinations don't favor him starting if Draymond Green is going to play power forward, and Draymond Green clearly wants to play power forward. He's made that clear. Now, they tried to force fit that really big starting lineup, which, you know, the coaching staff kind of did that with a level of skepticism. I think it was a little bit to appease, you know, the players to see if it worked. And I know it would have had a longer runway had Steph not sprained his ankle. Like, they were going to give it a test drive of, it sounded like, at least, you know, 10-something games.
Right.
And maybe, by the way, maybe they'll go back to it when Steph comes back in a few games. But Kerr's belief last night going into the game, while it seems counterintuitive that, hey, Steph's out, Wiggins is out, you bench Kuminga, that seems surprising because he would seem to be your top scorer if those two are out. But he wanted to play Draymond at the four. Draymond wants to play the four. Trace at the five. There's a belief without Steph on the floor, without that gravity, you can't also play Kuminga at the three. Now, that has been a point of contention. Obviously, Kuminga believes he can be a three. Draymond has said he's a three. Kerr kind of believes he's a four at this point. There's just a lot going on here. As far as buy-in, again, like, doesn't seem to love what's going on, but kind of has to play really well for himself and for the team, and did last night, as you mentioned. Like, he should be credited for the way he played.
We're talking to Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line. Our 95.7 The Game Insider does a great job for the Athletic, cover the Warriors, the Thunder, the Kings, you name it. But he's really tapped in on the Golden State Warriors. So I'll ask you this then, because it does feel like Steve Kerr at some point is going to have to pare down a rotation, playing 12, 13 guys. We've seen him play 12 guys in the first quarter alone, for that matter. It's wild, but it's working right now. Would it shock you if Kuminga was wearing a different uniform by the end of the season?
I don't think anything in the league shocks me. This is my 12th season covering it. I mean, the Durant era, all those early Thunder teams I covered, some of the crazy. I mean, the last few seasons.
Yeah.
Poole era, the Wiseman era. Like, you know, let's go on and on.
CP3, so, like, yeah.
Yeah. Again, I don't want to come out and, like, I definitely don't want any type of, like, you know, clip where it's like I'm predicting.
Yeah, no doubt. Because, like, you make a point, though. Like,
would I be shocked? No, you know, I mean, you know, like, it could happen. I mean, like, this is a pivot point of his career. There was no extension signed. His future is unknown. And the Warriors feel at a very urgent moment. We know that they went heavy into the trade market this summer. I know they didn't complete one, but they were very explorative. And, you know, talking to their people in the front office, it's very clear they're even somewhat public about it. Like, they're going to be an aggressive deadline team.
Right.
And Kuminga, because he didn't sign the extension, has a very, low salary tradable contract. And if there's a team out there that is ready to pay him. Like, it's like possible. Again, what else is possible is he plays well. He has a good season. He goes into restricted free agency. He gets a huge deal, either an offer sheet that the Warriors match, or maybe the Warriors give him a deal. Like, there's a lot on the table with him in his future. And because he didn't sign that deal, it's more unknown.
How's the relationship between Steve Kerr and Jonathan Kuminga? We know there was some turbulence last year after that Denver game when they went on a 25-4 run and stole that game with a Jokic three-point shot. Where are their relationship at, Kerr and Kuminga?
Yeah, I mean, like, again, I think it's clear, like, you know, Kuminga didn't love the decision to have him come off the bench last night. He does, you know, and beyond that, like, yeah, he was starting, but he played, I think, like 18 and 22 minutes the first three games. I mean, that's certainly not how he necessarily envisions year four starting. But also, like, you know, despite him making somewhat of his feelings clear, and like we all know, like, his desires long term to be a star in the league, like, he is professional in the sense of, like, he's accepting of these moves. So he's coming off the bench last night. I thought he played more of the type of game they want him to. He was more to the rim. He got to the free throw line. He was in better lineups. Again, like, I think at times Steve's very honest with the media, right? It's what we love about him. But, you know, I don't, like, he has come out and been, like, saying that he thinks he's not a small forward. Like, I'm not sure that Kuminga loves to hear that. But these are just the back and forth of sports, high level, you know, competitive, big money sports. I don't think it's at some, like, irreparable state, but that's just the reality of the situation. In a very complicated rotation and you know, that's always going to kind of create these moments.
You referenced Oklahoma City earlier when we're talking about Lindy Waters. You referred to him as like a factory when it comes to development. What do they do that the Warriors aren't doing? Because I look at what the Warriors have in place right now, and we still kind of don't know who Kuminga or Moses Moody are to a degree. It's just like it. What is Oklahoma City doing? Like, what specifically are they doing? Lindy Waters didn't play in games, and yet he feels like, wow, this guy can really help them. I mean, he might be a one-off. I want to explore that. What do they do?
Yeah, I think one of the main things they did over the last half decade is for about three seasons, they went into, like, a cocoon and, you know, tanked, whatever you want to call it. They, like, all they cared about for a few years was finding the best coaches, finding the best young talent, you know, in their Oklahoma City bubble that is like it's very like stern and serious and like hardworking, and like they really use the G League team. Oklahoma City Blue there, where Lindy Waters, by the way, played under Mark Daigneault when he was the G League coach. They like to develop coaches. That's how they got Mark Daigneault, who's now considered one of the best coaches in the league. And they just like, they grind. And again, they did it, you know, the difference in my opinion between them and the Warriors over that time, when the Warriors had a bunch of young players, but couldn't like, it was such a tough environment to get them on the floor. And like, you know, like the Steph system, the Draymond system, just the spotlight of the Warriors. I mean, we can talk about all the various mishaps in the Wiseman development. We can talk Kuminga, Moody, all that, but some of that's because they're competing for titles. And I know the Thunder are now, but the Thunder weren't for a while, and that was purposeful, and I think that had a lot to do with it, like how they developed in those years away from – like how many times did you even think about the Thunder for like three or four straight seasons?
Yeah, no.
Probably not at all, but they created what they are now then.
Now, Daigneault's come a long way. That franchise come a long way. The Oklahoma City Blue, their G League team. Shask and I were talking about it before. I think I had a tweet yesterday said, shout out to the OKC player development program for Lindy Waters, man. They're just developing dudes at a high level. Real quick, before we let you go, Steph's not going to go tonight. DeAnthony Melton's not going to go tonight. Is there any reason to think that Andrew Wiggins will go tonight? And how long would all three of those players do you anticipate them being out for?
Yeah, so on the Wiggins front, you know, Kerr said it was minor last night, and it's possible he could play tonight. I have no injury report at this point. I will say I saw him post game with like, kind of, I don't know if it was like a heat pack, but something wrapped on his lower back. That's not saying he will or won't play, but clearly he is kind of dealing with some soreness there that was lingering at least into post game last night. So I think the way that they played and the slow game this season, I probably predict he wouldn't necessarily play tonight, but you know, Kerr said it's not serious. Melton, you're only concerned because of the history of it. You know, I think he only played like 35 games, something like that last season, because of like some really tricky to solve lower back issues that, you know, date back further than last season. They have him under the Rick Celebrini plan. I know before he even signed, he talked to Rick Celebrini, and I think one of the appeals of the Warriors to him, I know this, I've talked to him, was the Otto Porter history, Draymond Green, who had that back issue, and the way Celebrini, you know, managed those guys through a season, particularly Otto Porter. And so I think some of this is like maintenance with the Anthony Melton, making sure he's healthy throughout the season. But still, the fact that, you know, he's having a, you know, lower back issue right now, it's an alarm bell. But again, they're not saying it's long term. They just pulled him out for a couple games. Probably would see him on the road trip. And then Steph, they were encouraged with the way that the ankle responded post game the night it happened, and even the next day. I thought they were maybe going to do one of those, reevaluate it in a week. And the fact that they decided to tape that back and just say, hey, reevaluate it Friday, signals to me not necessarily that he's going to play at the start of the road trip in Houston, but it's possible. And if it's not then, it'll be pretty soon. Like, it's a minor sprain.
Got it. That'd be good, because that road trip is a monster. Well, Houston, the Wizards and Jordan Poole's playing well. And then, of course, you get Boston, Cleveland, and the Oklahoma City Thunder that we spoke about. And yeah, you're right. D'Anthony Melton last year playing 38 games, starting 33 of them, but obviously he missed the playoffs for the Sixers. Slater, man, I'll see you tonight at Chase Center, man. Keep up the great work, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
All right, fellas.
All right, Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line, and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop, and right there with Lindy Waters III, OKC said he's going to be the perfect fit with the Golden State Warriors. He's going to move. And their player development, man, we were talking about this before the show. I don't know what the hell they're doing out there. But both Jalen Williams, the one for Santa Clara and the one from Arkansas, some ballers. Lou Dort, who we saw in the bubble and kind of was a joke, oh, he's this and that, had the game of his life when he hit on. Lou Dort's a baller. We know about SGA, where that trade with the Clippers and Paul George looks like an all-time blunder for the L.A. Clippers, especially if they don't make the playoffs. Their first-round pick is unprotected, which goes to Oklahoma City. Chet Holmgren, who I thought coming out, I saw him here in the tournament when he was playing for Gonzaga. I was like, man, he's not going to last in the league. This dude's a baller. And they developed him. Whatever they're doing in OKC, man.
But those guys you referenced, I think where I'm not struggling, but it's like, wow, like a lot of those guys get to play. Now, the other Jalen Williams maybe doesn't play as much as the guys you referenced, SGA and Chet and the other Williams. I know I'm confusing everyone. The Santa Clara Williams.
Right.
Those guys play a lot. Isaiah Joe was coming off the bench for them. Right. I like him.
He's a former Sixer.
Yeah, and I like him a lot. I'm saying, like, Lindy Waters. Now, again, it's one game. I don't want to lose my mind, but I'm like, how is he this good having not played that much? He's got a great feel for the game in the half court.
Well, you know, but the thing is, when you do play as youngsters, you can develop bad habits. And it's tough to shake those bad habits off. You see a lot of youngsters play,
Darius
and they just don't get better. You know, but they've been able to develop and play through their mistakes. And Spinotti in my ear just whispering that Alex Caruso started with the Oklahoma City Blue,
their
G League affiliate. This Carson Wallace guy, we've seen him light it up against the Warriors last year, Carson Wallace. So they've got some dudes, man. Whatever they're doing out there in Oklahoma City, I think this league will start to replicate it, man, because they got a lot of players, they got a lot of ballers, they have a lot of picks. And right now, they're a young team that is going to be a problem in the Western Conference for years to come.
The development is one thing. How to replicate it? Like, they made one of the great trades in the league, and they kept parlaying, and they made a ton of trades. I mean, at one point, they had, like, whatever it was, half the first rounders over a two-year period. It was crazy how many picks they ended up with. And so that Paul George trade
looks like an all-time.
It's the equivalent of a Herschel Walker-like trade for the Cowboys. Is it not?
At the time, we all were like, wow. Kawhi and Paul George together, Clippers.
Right.
I got to look that trade up now because.
Well, they got SGA.
Yep.
And then they got, I believe, four or five. Because you can't send, I want to say it's a staggered picks over a seven-year period. But they got a million picks. But they also did, I think they acquired Chris.
So, yeah. So the Clippers received Paul George. OKC received Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Danilo Gallinari, Miami Heat's 2021 unprotected first rounder.
Okay.
The Clippers 2022 unprotected first rounder. The right to a 2023 first round pick swap. Wow. With the Clippers.
Wow.
The Clippers 2024 unprotected first round pick. The Heat's 2025 protected first rounder for 1 through 14, wow. unprotected for 2026. The right to a 2025 first round swap with the Clippers. And the Clippers 2026 unprotected first round pick.
Plus, they kept all their own picks.
Yeah. So far, they've got two starters in the deal. Jalen Williams and, of course, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And the Clippers right now don't have Paul George, and they don't have those picks. And we'll see how the Clippers play. They were impressive on Sunday. Ty Lue's going to coach those guys up, man. They're going to be competitive, but more picks?
There's a chance if the Clippers, and we'll see if Kawhi doesn't play this year and the Clippers end up being a bad team, there's a chance the Oklahoma City Thunder can get Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
Like, the best player coming out of the draft since I don't know who.
But here's where...
That's insane.
Here's since the only... No, it is insane.
Right?
They
have picks galore. Best American-born player.
They have
picks galore. The only question I have with them, and this is so in the weeds, but like the CBA is so odd. So like who you pay and how much you pay them, it's like really important. At some point, they can't keep all of these guys making tons of money. Like if Chet ends up getting near max money at some point, I mean, he looks awesome, right? I don't know what he wants or going to command. SGA's making big money. These other, like, you know, the Williams is going to want big money. It's just,
Well,
they're going to have to ship somebody up. But that being said, they have so many picks, they might be able to get away with it.
So that's a long way away when you think about what they're doing with their cap. Because look,
Lu Dort's on a pretty team-friendly deal.
Yeah, Lu Dort's
making to the other players in his bracket.
Lu Dort's making $16.5 million this year, $17 million next season.
That's not a lot.
Hartenstein's making $30 million this year, $28.5 million.
Wow, Hartenstein's making that much. Wow,
but they have a club option on Hartenstein in 2026-27, and they have a club option with Lu Dort that same season. Now, SGA is going to be a restricted free agent in 2027-28. They'll probably try to lock him up. He's making 35 this year, 38 that's next nothing. Year, and 40. He's an MVP type of player.
That's nothing.
He's an MVP level type of player.
Wow.
Isaiah Joe making 12 this year, 12-9 this year, 12-3 next year, the 11 after. Chet Holmgren, he's on a rookie deal. $10.8 million this year. 13.7, and he's a restricted free agent two seasons from now. I mean, they've got Caruso's a restricted free agent after the season. He'll be highly sought after. He's 30 years old. But you look at these contracts. Jalen Williams, 4.7 this year,